Welcome to the Coach's Corner podcast, brought to you by the South Florida Charter Chapter of the International Coaching Federation, where our goal is to engage, motivate, and inspire. In the Coach's Corner, we speak with the great professional coaches of ICF South Florida. We hear about what compels them to coach. We talk about the people they support and the tools and techniques that they use to get the job done. Coaching is a hugely specialized craft, and this inside look at the power and the promise of coaching is both an exploration and a celebration of our member coaches, their talents, and their client successes. I'm Eric Gorris, a member of the ICF South Florida Programming Committee and host of the Coach's Corner podcast. Before we get into our conversation, I'd like to invite you to visit the ICF South Florida website so you can learn more about our chapter's benefits and program offerings. To learn more, go to icfsouthflorida.org. Check out our calendar of events, and if you find an event that interests you, register for free as our guest. Just use the promo code PODCAST. Today's guest is Misha Gay Walker, the second-year president of the South Florida Charter Chapter of the International Coaching Federation. She joins our podcast at the conclusion of 2023's International Coaching Week, as done by ICF South Florida, a week of virtual events, talks, discussions, and thought exchange, all on the topic of, or related to, coaching as a profession. Misha will talk to us about her path to coaching, the clients she coaches, and her work as our chapter's leader. Stay tuned. We bring you now, Madam President Misha Gay Walker. Misha Gay Walker, so lovely to have you here today on the Coach's Corner podcast. Tell me, how are you doing?
Hi, Eric. First of all, thank you for having me here today. I'm doing well. Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's Friday, the end of International Coaching Week. I mean, it's been a long, busy week.
Yay, it sure has been. And we made it. We survived.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Misha, let's go ahead and get started. I want to start with, you know, you're in your second year here as president of ICF South Florida. Would you care to briefly describe your journey, the journey that brought you to coaching, and tell us how you came to choose to lead our chapter?
Oh, great question, Eric. Thanks for asking that. And, you know, my journey started with a quest for purpose. I remember just coming out of a divorce. It was a hard divorce. And feeling displaced and thinking, what am I on this planet to do? Even the ants has purpose. And so it was a true journey of me just going back, collecting the breadcrumbs, if you will, in my past, trying to gather the clues on what am I on this planet to do? And I remember I started that journey in 2014. And about 2015, I was at a dinner party, a birthday dinner party for my mom. And someone at the table asked me, what is your purpose, Misha? And I said, well, funny you ask. I've been on this journey and here are my breadcrumbs, but I don't know where to put them. I don't know which profession to connect them to. And I shared my breadcrumbs and the person said, you sound like a life coach. And my response was, a what? And so my thing was, and my follow-up question really to that was, what is a life coach? How do you become one? Are people just walking around here calling themselves life coaches? And so I felt like if I were to aspire to become a coach, I needed to be like legitimate. I couldn't just walk around here and just tag myself as coach. And it stayed with me. I remember that was September of 2015. And by December, that thing was still lingering in me. And so I went to good old Google, searched life coach, where can I, you know, enroll to become one? Is it really a thing? All of that. And so in my search, the University of Miami came up, Go Canes, right here in South Florida. And I felt like I had no more questions after that. If the UM subscribed to it, it was legitimate. And I wasted no time in signing up at the University of Miami to become an executive coach. Still not fully understanding, but was willing to take the journey. And from that day on, Eric, I never looked back. And so actually, let me respond to the second half of your question. So how I became a leader here at the ICF South Florida chapter. So going through coaching school, right, by 2017, I was completing everything just about at the University of Miami and had this like slight panic about, I need to find my tribe. And then another classmate of mine told me about ICF South Florida, invited me to one of their happy hours. I went. I was just like, wow, interesting. Went to a second event, but this time Global was in town. And Global knocked me off my feet. I knew for sure I found my tribe. And I did not hesitate on becoming a member. That was about late summer, maybe August, September. And then I remember around late October, November, I started to feel like I needed to be even more involved. I wanted to be closer to the tribe. I wanted to make sure that I'm like almost like a fixed furniture with the tribe. And so an opportunity came up just when I was thinking that an email came through on an opening for secretary. Well, I wasted no time and it's all history there. I just became a part of the board member. I've been a part of the board for 5 years. I was not your typical secretary. I was a very vocal secretary, very opinionated, had ideas, and just became passionate about the tribe. One of my value words, if you will, is collaboration. And I'm not shy about it. And I did not mind jumping in and collaborating. And that desire became bigger and bigger, Eric. And truly and honestly, from secretary, I became VP of membership. I had to be pushed to get there because I was comfortable being secretary and just having a voice. But then the standing president at that time was Matt Holscher, 2018 past president. He just kept talking in my ear about VP of membership. He goes, "You are beyond a secretary. Go ahead and keep serving the membership body." And I did. I took the challenge and then that grew. I took that position for 2 years. I have a thing with the number two because especially when I'm bringing in something new, I want to reinforce it the second year. And what I did new was bring on committees. And I wanted to make sure it stuck. And so I did 2 years of that. And then I had another past president that came to me. That's Lumna Nuruddin, past president 2020, that pretty much had the same kind of conversation with me. Misha, you are more than a vice president of membership. And her thing that got me this time, I was ready to say no, but her thing that got me was that representation matters. And so now it went beyond serving to really taking on a responsibility that representation does matter, being a Jamaican American, Black Jamaican American, right? And so I said yes to the role. I prepared for it during her year, 2020. I did say it will have to be in 2 years. There go that two again. Because I had plans and I was going to stick to the plan and I wanted to prepare for being in the role. And so needless to say, this is my second year intentionally because I knew that I was coming in with some ideas. The board and I were going to rewrite the playbook and I wanted to make sure that the second year we did some reinforcement of what was working for us.
There's so much to that answer and so much in there, Misha. Thank you for taking us through all that. I mean, everyone's journey to where they become as a coach is an interesting journey. Yours in particular is especially inspiring. And so much of what we try to do here is inspire those who are behind us on the path. And I think yours is a very inspiring story. So thank you for that. One thing that of all the things that I could possibly reach back into that answer and extract, and there's many questions, follow-ups in there. The one that I really want to ask is, I heard you use the word tribe. What does tribe mean? And for you, what did it mean and evoke?
Yeah, tribe meant like a family, right? A place of belonging. Your people, this organization, they're my people. when a client find me, I say, you're my people, right? When they're looking at my bio, you're really intentionally choosing me. I'm your people. If I start off my bio saying, I love pancakes, and you chose me, you're my people.
So many of us here, you know, having joined the chapter, have had a similar experience where, you know, they get involved and they look around and they find that they have discovered their tribe. Coaching can be a bit of a lonely profession. So finding that tribe is important. So thank you.
Misha, can you tell us, next question, can you tell us about the type of coaching that you do?
Yes, Eric, I'm an executive and mental health coach.
You know, these executives, I'm always curious to see what comes up over and over again. So as you've worked with these executives, Misha, and you know, I know a lot of our ICF South Florida membership also does executive coaching. Tell me, what are some of the areas where you see executives and leaders most benefit from coaching?
These executives are operating at a pace that's unsustainable, and is unsustainable because they're not setting their pace. And so now is, you know, helping them to pull back the reins to discover how they will set their pace. And how do you pull back the reins? The discussion on values. What are value words for you on how you want to show up in the world as, right? These value words as it pertains to your career, value words as it pertains to your family and community and learning and health and fitness. And then when those value words are discovered, there's some boundaries that's set. I like to say boundaries are both verbal and nonverbal. They're powerful when they're nonverbal, because when you identify what your value words are, how you want to show up in the world, all of a sudden it becomes clear what you will protect. And so I begin to partner with my clients on establishing what work-life integration looks like based on values.
So then the values, that's values identification work and then values application work, it sounds like.
Yes.
A few seconds ago, you were talking about the importance of mental health and also unsustainable paces. And that's something that I know comes up in executive coaching quite a bit. Overwhelm. But one thing I wanted to ask you about was your take on the importance of mental health and that sustainable pace, how they tie together and the importance of what that means.
Yeah, it's so funny, Eric. It's amazing. I will have executives like attorneys, and they just come in and feel purposeless. Because what they're doing, and that's just one example, by the way, other big titles, right? And all of a sudden they come in and they say, what's my purpose? I'm lost. I'm trying to discover what's my purpose. They're trying to discover what will fulfill them, trying to connect what will give them meaning in their lives. And so they're coming in lost, feeling lost. And all of a sudden, when we do that value work, all of a sudden they begin to already gain some psychological flexibility. It's connected. It's connected to their mental well-being and understanding emotions too, that emotions are critical to our survival. It's an internal communication. When we understand our emotions, we partner with the emotions better. Emotions can be our allies, and it's an indicator. It can be an indicator that something needs to be addressed, because without emotions, we will not make any effort to take action. So I'm glad they're coming in. We do the work. They're gaining the psychological flexibility. They're increasing their emotional intelligence, and they begin to have a clearer picture on what will bring them fulfillment. And it's tied directly to what those value words mean for them in each of their value domain, like family, career, relationships, community, health and fitness, fun and leisure, all of that.
And I love that you bring the emotions into it, because I think those of us who work with emotions, we understand that, you know, when emotion is present, the worst thing we can do is ignore it or tamp it down or file it away. So when we talk about when you talk about being open to emotion, and then let's look at it and let's explore it and find out what it is, extremely helpful. I'm wondering, Misha, if you would care to, or if you can think of a success story that you might want to share about that ties maybe in the values and the emotions and the executives. And
I have a client, an executive that works for a big company. And he was starting to get frustrated with the politics. And so starting to lose sight of what was meaningful. And at this company, it requires a lot of artistic abilities, creativity. And he thrives as one of the lead artists in the company. And we coached around his thoughts. What are some of the potential thinking traps that he might have that's inducing the discomfort or inducing the uncomfortable emotions, right? Because now it's let's see how you're contributing to the pain. And then after that, I don't let them linger there. We go right into the values work to anchor them. And so under the domain of career, he was able to define what his value words were. And his value words were very linked to his everyday lifestyle and how he shows up every day. And it really struck a chord with him that he was not showing up that way in the workplace. So now he was running at the corporate pace versus his pace, right? What would bring meaning to his life? Eric, something shifted for him. He gained the psychological flexibility that he needed. He took it, ran with it, got promoted, and could speak from a place and show up authentically and unapologetically in his true self of what he valued about his career, his value words. His value words really was around fun loving. And so now he came into this corporate serious place where there was a lot of pressure and he could speak from that. And not just that opportunity came up, another opportunity of collaboration came up because he was showing up differently. He was showing up with confidence. He was showing up in a way that was certainly true to who he was. It changed the game for him. And there are many more actually like that. The value words work is a game changer.
That's an excellent success story. Thank you for sharing that. And, you know, as you were telling it and you were talking, I was thinking about not only him. Well, two things. First off, yes, when you change, the world changes around you. And we know that to be true. And then the second thing is that the ripple effect, again, of this, because, you know, an executive who's running an organization in a very high stress environment, for him to change and then the ripple effect of how that, you know, radiates out and affects the employees and everything that they impact, it's slightly chilling.
It is. It is. And he was deliberate in taking one of our coaching sessions to talk about the ripple effects.
That's cool. Hey, you know, moving on, thank you for all that background about your practice and who you work with and the impact that you have with your clients, because that is truly fascinating. I'd like to just shift the conversation a little bit towards ICF South Florida, if that's okay. You had mentioned passion and collaboration very early on in this conversation about how those were some of your value words. In just over a year, ICF South Florida has doubled its membership. Again, with this passion and collaboration that you've brought to it, what do you attribute ICF South Florida's success to?
Eric, it's really simple. And my mind is so simple. I don't know why this is a challenge for most of us, but it starts and ends with people. It starts and ends with people. I could also say that our great board, our board of superstars, loves and cares about this community, about the people that they work with. These are their people too. And our committee members are an extension of that. And so everyone goes to work to bring the best, the highest to this organization, the best programs that they think and believe that will add value to their growth, their knowledge, to create a space for our members to grow their thought leadership. It's really empowering.
Misha, with all these committees doing things left and right, what are some of the things that the committees have done that have really just sort of blown your mind?
Eric, between last year and this year, we launched the masterclass by Master Coaches. And that was a game changer. Yeah, that was a game changer. That was intentional to compete in the virtual space. to say that we too could be significant in the virtual space. We can compete here. And Jimmy and his team held that down and connected with the who's of who's in the in our coaching world, brought in some big hitting names, and really started to create that buzz for our organization. Then we had our VP of outreach, Valeska Martins. She took on outreach and took it to the next level with her collaboration with the committee and created a space to bring in any and all thoughts. Let's go at it. And they created something that we see now that is sticking, like our partnership with We Evolution, our partnership with World Happiness Summit and World Happiness Fest, our way, our now way of doing International Coaching Week. Who will dare come from that and have and do less, right? The bar has been set. You're coming in, you know, this is what we do.
Yeah. And it seems to drive the activity drives more activity. You know what I mean? The enthusiasm drives the enthusiasm. And the more we do, the more we want to do. It's self-propelling.
Because we're winning, right? When people see their ideas coming to pass, it encourages them to keep going. I remember last year, and then we did the conference, right? We did the conference last year, 2020, our first conference ever. I remember when we did our ICW last year and we did all these programs. I was like, oh my gosh, this is too big, real talk, honestly. Because in the years past, we've heard that one of the themes for our for chapters is burnout. Burnout. And so I was trying to guard against burnout with my board members. I came in knowing that I wanted to be able to pour into them, pour into their leadership in our board meetings, creating global leaders to creating a space for global leaders to come in and speak to them and pour into to them to develop their leadership and monitor how much is being done, right? We're volunteers. We're all volunteers. But it was creating excitement because they were winning and they wanted to do even more. And so I supported them more. They're mavericks like me. Sometimes I feel like, yes, I could do it, but then I'm guarding everybody else. And they're like, I could do it. Let's go bigger. And they have been. They have been with great programs. We have a very collaborative board. I got to give my hat off to them. They come forward with great thoughts and we work them out. And then they extend themselves to their committees and they work out things as well. And they bring these ideas and we see how it will fit and come to pass.
It's great, the reflection on that. I mean, so often we're moving forward so fast that we don't take the time to reflect on the successes that we've had in the past. And that's why I wanted to, I don't know, it was enjoyable to watch you sort of, it was enjoyable to hear you go through those successes and revisit those. So thank you. Speaking of successes, International Coaching Week this year, as done by ICF South Florida, has been an incredible success. Would you care to speak to that at all?
Wow, wow, and wow. Can I just start off with 700 plus registrants? That deserves like a moment of silence in 1 week. In 40 plus events, 30 plus speakers, 7 countries. That's tremendous. That is the hard work of our leaders. Specifically, Valeska Martins. Let me say something about that, something else about that. I remember when I approached her last year and said, as we were planning for last year, and I said, Valeska, I believe ICW is more connected to outreach because the goal of ICW is to reach out. And it just made sense. Like, take your committee and go at it. And man, did they go at it. And they took what they learned from last year and boosted like never before. like literally never before in the history of our chapter. And so her willingness not to just collaborate with her committee members, but collaborate across with the board members and gain the support and work a vision. And I'm sure the vision is going to be even bigger next year because now they're learning from this year. So it's worth celebrating the hard work, the commitment, the love for the tribe and the energy, because now we're really elevating our membership body to take these slots. We weren't promoting big names out in the industry. We were promoting our own members. That is something so special. And the quality, the relevance of what was put out there. And I believe two timing, just so proud, so, so proud of what the culture that we're cultivating.
Thank you for that. Yes, 100% the idea of the chapter supporting its members. Lovely, Misha. Thank you for that. We have a couple final questions here before we get, and a couple from our studio in studio audience, which are very exciting. Hey, but before our final questions, for those who are listening and want to learn a little bit more about ICF South Florida and the range of opportunities it has for its members, where is the best place for them to go?
First and foremost, the easiest place is our website. We try to just keep that very up to date, easy to navigate, and keep you informed. And that's icfsouthflorida.org. And then you could find us on LinkedIn. We're blowing it up these days. LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. And then join us at our events. We are primarily virtual right now. We'll start to sprinkle in some in-person events. I'm hearing more and more requests, growing requests on that. So as long as there's a growing request, maybe I'll entertain it.
Yeah, there's something about them. Having attended one of those lately, I got to say, they're quite fun, and talk about self-propelling. So here's a question from the audience. What are one of the biggest learnings for you, Misha, as a person, number one, and secondly, as a coach that you've had during your experience with ICF South Florida?
One learning as a coach, personally as a coach, it's two things for me. The power of values, right? Seeing it transform people's lives in front of me is amazing. It's always amazing. And to hear when we talk about these value words as it pertains to their different life domains, all of a sudden, people talk proudly about themselves. And to sit in the witness seat and see that is transforming, right? It makes me even reflect in a deeper way for myself, especially here lately in the absence of my father, in the passing of my father. I'm even doing the value works over, right? Because things have changed. We know that values evolve over time. And so here I am experiencing a life-changing experience, and it is evolving. And so as a coach, witnessing that has been very impactful for me. What was the second part of your question? I think I have the answer, but I want to make sure I answer it right.
And what was the biggest learning for you, Misha, as a person?
As a person, yes. So in doing the values work, I found it really funny. I knew this because I would come in meetings and say, one of my superpower is collaboration. I will come in meetings and say that. I speak very openly about it, but I realized that is a common thread throughout every domain of my life, right? Fun fact, I couldn't figure out why I could not get my workout on at home. It became a dread. And so I did my values work under health and fitness. Turns out I like the gym because I like to be around people. I like the fitness classes. Put me in a Zumba class with the teacher and the other ladies.
Say, okay, so next question. Well, the question, yeah, next question. What's the next big thing coming from ICF South Florida?
Wow. Which one do I let out the bag? We're in the works doing a local PRISM award, and we're doing a global PRISM award, and we're preparing for Luminous 2024. Yes. So we decided as a board to do Luminous every other year, that when Converge is having their conference, that will be our off year. So we're preparing already for Luminous 2024, and we're hoping to make it even a bigger and better experience, and really pulling in our community, especially pertaining to the corporate world, and really making a name for ourselves, putting our stamp in the community, especially with organizations.
Okay, Misha, we're at final questions. Before we get into it, I want to just thank you for being with us here today, and thank you for all that you've done for the chapter and for the membership and for all the committees and all the people in our chapter. Thank you so much for being the wonderful president and leader and collaborator that you are. So thank you for that. Only two questions left, unless you have any questions for me. Misha, what's something that might surprise people to know about you?
Well, you know, Eric, I just mentioned that I love pancakes. Mostly everyone here knows that I love pancakes. And pancakes is actually linked to my father. It was my first favorite American food here, right? When I migrated from Jamaica, my dad introduced me to that. But I tell you, I learned all of my favorite foods from my dad. For example, I remember being a very young girl, around maybe 8, and I used to fuss about how much he worked. He had 2 jobs and didn't have time for the family. And I used to always bother him about that. And so one day, not just one day, he made it continuously. He decided that he will have only Saturdays off, but he will spend it with the family. And where did he take us? International House of Pancakes, every single Saturday morning. And it will be a long day of just outing, spending family time. And I'm grateful for that. So pancakes are special to me. Besides, I love them. And then I will share the second one, because the second one kind of took some people by surprise, and it took me by surprise that they were noticing. I had to go to the West Coast on business, and I was with a few peers, and we were there for the weekend also. And the weekend included a working weekend. But what happens for me on the weekend, culturally, on Saturdays, we have soup. So in Jamaica, Saturdays are like your chill day, and you're not doing any big cooking. You're having soup, whatever that soup, it could be pumpkin soup, red pea soup, goat soup, chicken soup. It is soup. So I was there saying, guys, we need to find some kind of cultural restaurant. I'm good with a Mexican restaurant. I need to find some soup. So since it was the weekend, Sundays we do a big traditional cooking. But since I was there, in a way, I still wanted soup. So the joke came that, who knew Misha loves soup so much? And I do. Yeah, I do. I could eat soup every single day. And as a matter of fact, when my father passed, that's what I did. I ate soup every single day. So it's comfort. It's nutritious. So that's a fun fact, that something else food related, but it's relatable to my culture.
That's a lovely story. And it's lovely to know about the soup and the pancakes, even lovelier to know the why, right? It's always about the why, isn't it?
Always about the why.
Plus, as a bonus, now anyone who needs to get Misha Gay Walker a thank you present or a holiday holiday present, now we know what's on your wish list. So that's yes. Fantastic extra intel. Okay. Misha, again, thanks a bunch. This is the last question. Here we go. What do you see to be in the future of coaching?
Oh my gosh. The future of coaching is strong. It's looking strong. Recently the GCS, that's the Global Coaching Study, came out, right? A big research that's done to see how coaching is showing up globally. And the last time it was taken was back in 2019. And it's showing that coaching is even stronger post-pandemic. And I get it too. I get why. People are just tired of not feeling fulfilled in their life, having meaning in their lives, and being present for the people that they love and care about. And so there is a demand to really coach the person and not the problem. Go Marsha Reynolds. And so there is still so much to be done out in the field. There's still opportunities based on that study. There's still opportunities to be gained. And it's growing. The numbers are only increasing on salary. The numbers are only increasing on the different geological location, locations. And people are becoming more aware of coaching, but there's still so much more to be done. We're still a new profession. And so I'm grateful that the pioneers are still out there doing the work, like Dr. David Clutterbuck, for example. And our global organization is still passionate about making sure that we remain relevant in the world and just monitoring the market. And there are spaces for those of us that probably don't want to have their own practice, right? But want to be a part of an organization. Those opportunities are growing too. And so more internal coaches are coming into play. And the salary is decent. That's increasing. The respect and the need for certification is growing. The awareness about the importance of certification is growing. So I think we're still in a very good position, Eric, about our future. The future is looking bright and coaches are leading the way.
Misha Gay Walker, second year president of ICF South Florida. Thank you so, so much for being here with us today.
Thank you, Eric. It was my pleasure and joy to be here with you today.
What a great conversation. It's always so educational and inspirational to talk with colleagues and learn from their experiences. That's why it's so important to continue to collaborate with others. And that is one of the best reasons to consider working with a certified coach. Working with a certified coach opens a whole new space to learn, grow, and design your future in a way that you want it. To learn more about what coaching is and how it can help you, please visit our website at icfsouthflorida.org. There you'll find educational resources, our events calendar, and our coaches directory. We hope you'll find exactly what you're looking for, and if you like what you see, consider becoming a member. We would love to welcome you to our community. That's it for now. Thanks again for joining us in the ICF South Florida's Coaches Corner. Until next week, I'm Eric Gorris. Take care and be well.